in season and out of season.
In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I look at the 16th chapter of St. Matthew. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is it if a man profiteth and gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Amen, amen, I say to you, there are some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The words of Jesus have not really registered in the church or in most people, that in order to win, you have to lose. In order to live, you have to die. We say things like that, but we don't really believe it because we don't live that way. We don't live that way, and as a result, we don't win. Because in order to win, you have to lose. In order to live, you have to die. And this is not just a nice homily that a priest gives or a minister gives. It's the way of the kingdom. That if you would save your life, you must lose your life. And whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Now truly this is opposed to human nature, and it is truly opposed to the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of this world's philosophy is the one who dies with most toys wins. That's the kingdom of this world. The one who dies with most toys, they win. When Jesus says that if any man would come after me, he must first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That one finds one's life by losing one's life. And so these are the words of Jesus, and because they are not lived, there is no experience of the kingdom of God. Because people do not live them, because the church does not live them, because the church does not believe them, there is no experience of the kingdom of God. So, who gets cheated but the people of God? The people of God always are the ones that get cheated. They get cheated because we don't believe that in order to win, you have to lose. And in order to live, you have to die. Oh, philosophically, we'll preach it, unless the seed go into the ground and die, it shall not bear fruit. We preach things like that, but we don't believe that. We try to hold on to our life. We try to hold on to our property. We try to hold on to our everything. And in holding on, there's always the loss. Because what you hold on to is what you lose. It's a law because Jesus died and rose from the dead. The cross is the very experience of the way we live. The cross is the very experience of life. Dying and living. Dying and rising. And yet you can preach that until the cows come home. But it really doesn't make a difference what you preach, because you preach it all you want. But unless you live it, it makes no difference. It is time for the church to wake up, and it is time for the people of the church to wake up. It is time for me to wake up, that in order to win, you have to lose. In order to live, you have to die. And it's not only proclaiming that and speaking that, it's living that and living that well. Hypocrisy was the thing that Jesus Christ could not stand from the Pharisees. It wasn't their sin that he couldn't stand. It was their hypocrisy. That's what Jesus couldn't stand. It was their hypocrisy. And you know, one can be as sinful as one can be, and the Lord will always take that person back, because the Lord loves sinners. But there's something about hypocrisy that turns his stomach. Because hypocrisy is under this gaze of being righteous, but not righteous at all, because a hypocrite is a hypocrite. And that's the thing that Jesus had against many of the Pharisees. They lived a hypocritical life. He didn't have any trouble with the woman caught in adultery yesterday that we all heard about and read about. He didn't have any trouble with her. You want to know why? Because she knew who she was. She did not have to pretend. She had been caught in the very act of adultery. But the Pharisees were the hypocrites. They brought her to Jesus. They brought her to Jesus, and they want to know, Jesus, the law of Moses says that a woman like this should be stoned. What shall we do with her? They did this, the scripture said, in order to trap him, to trap Jesus. They put Jesus on the horns of a dilemma. Let me tell you, when you're on the horns of a dilemma, I want you to know that it's never God. But Jesus, on the horns of this dilemma, you know, starts to write on the ground. And let me tell you about the horns of this dilemma. First of all, Moses did say that a woman caught in adultery like this should be stoned. Second of all, Jesus said himself over and over that we are to forgive 70 times 7 during each day. So they have Jesus, you know, on the horns of a dilemma. But not Jesus, because Jesus is not into playing into their games. Jesus is not into playing into their games. What happens? He writes on the ground and he says, let the man who is without sin cast the first stone. And they leave, beginning with the elder. The eldest leaves first. But Jesus does not let the woman go. He says to her, woman, have these condemned thee? And she said, no, sir. And he said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. So Jesus was very clear that she wasn't to sin anymore. Very clear. Lest something worse happens to you. lest something worse happens to you. These men caught this woman and brought her before Jesus on the Mount of Olives, half naked, to shame her. Shame is never of God. If today you are experiencing shame, you must know it is never of God. Shame feeds on itself. It never goes away. It literally multiplies in itself. When we were in high school, we were told that yeast, if it had the proper conditions, the proper environment all over the world, could take over the whole world in a short period of time. A little piece of yeast, if it had the proper environment all over the world, it would be able to take over the world in a short period of time. No, thank God it doesn't have the proper environment. But you see, that's the way shame is. Shame is like yeast under the proper environment. It feeds on itself. It never goes away. It never goes away. Never. And it is never God's will that a man or a woman be shamed. Never, never, never. You might be in the predicament that you had three abortions. The Lord wants to forgive you. He has forgiven you. You need to go to confession. You need to repent. But let me tell you, go and sin no more. Shame only creates more shame. Remember what St. Paul said yesterday. We want to remember who St. Paul was. St. Paul, before he was Paul, was Saul, and he killed Christians, and he put them in jail. That's part of his history. But yesterday we heard from the letter to the Philippians that said, "One thing I do is I forget what lies behind, and I press on to what lies ahead, that is life on high in Christ Jesus." I forget what lies behind. He had to forget what was behind, because if he continued to live what was behind, he would live in shame. There is time. This is time to break with shame. This is time to break with shame, because if Paul lived with what was behind him, he would be impotent. He had to let it go. And how he says it is one thing. I forget what lies behind, and I press on to what lies ahead. Life on high in Christ Jesus. It is never God's will that we be shamed. It is never God's will that we be shamed. Never, 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 never. So if today you are living in the land of shame, it will feed off itself. It will not go away until you drop it. Until you confess your sin and let it go. Because shame is like yeast. It continues to grow. And the Lord will never shame you. Never. There's a difference between guilt and shame. Guilt can lead us to repentance. Shame leads us to self-pity. Now, you see, I am a firm believer of the inspiration of the liturgical readings. I'm a firm believer of the inspiration of the liturgical readings. Last week we had the reading of the prodigal son. This week, the woman caught in the very act of adultery. Both cases was the mercy of God. Now, I was always taught that the church was to be the beacon light of the mercy of God. I just had in the rectory a woman come to visit me with her 14-month-old baby whose liver is failing. And we prayed for an hour for Joseph, praying for the mercy of God, for the presence of God to heal this baby. The baby fell asleep while we prayed. My heart went out to this grandmother, to this mother. My heart is broken. Oh, that if I had the power to heal this baby, of course I would have healed him months ago when I prayed with him. But I do not have that power. The only thing I can do is pray. And the only thing I can do is proclaim it, declare it, and leave it in the hands of God. So, I always have been taught by the church that I am to be a vessel of mercy. That, like the good shepherd, I am always to receive the sinners back. To care for the downtrodden and the oppressed and the poor. That's what I've been taught. And to the best of my ability, I've tried to live that. I really have. To the best of my ability. To the best of my ability. I cannot tell you today that I've done it perfectly, because I certainly haven't done it perfectly. Honest. But to the best of my ability. Oh, and many times I've messed up. Oh, I've messed up, and I've prayed for the people I've hurt, you know, so many times. Because, you know, I represent Jesus Christ as a priest. And I realize that for me to hurt somebody is to be beyond my hurt. Because I represent Jesus in a way that other people don't, because I am a priest. So, last week we had the reading of the prodigal son, and this week the woman caught in adultery, and Paul forgetting what lies behind and pressing on to what lies ahead. And in the middle of all this, the church laicizes two priests. Like, we want nothing to do with these two priests anymore. They are Mr. Nyan and Mr. Lorano. And I want to tell you, my heart is broken, not only for these two priests, but because of the hypocrisy of the church. My heart is broken. They sinned, and now they're not good enough for us anymore. And that's sick. And I hate to tell you how broken my heart is today. I hate to tell you how broken my heart is today. That the church is so pharisaical. How can we preach forgiveness when we want these men now, Mr. Nyan and Mr. Lorano. But you see, it's not only them. It's other people who have not sinned against children that they want laicized too. And they even bribe them with $40,000 to get laicized. That's real. I'm not talking ragtime. This is my church that taught me to be forgiving. This is my church that taught me to be a beacon of forgiveness. This is my church. The one who gave me faith. This is my church that cares nothing for her brothers that have sinned. And it's between these two readings of the prodigal son and the woman caught in adultery. We do this. My church. My mother. These two men that have been laicized, which is just a Pharisaical lie, because if someone is dying, they can give them the last rites, so they're still priests. We know that. But the hypocrisy of the church wants, I just want to throw up. I want to tell you, I want to throw up. And then next week we're going to be with the Archbishop for Chrism, the Chrism Mass, and everything is all right. Well, you know what? Everything's not all right. For what you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me, Jesus said. It's not all right. It's not all right. It's not all right. It's not all right. And who suffers but the people? Because you see, when you live like the devil, you reap the devil's fruit. And right now, the church in Boston is living like the devil. These two men that have been laicized, are still priests. What they did was wrong, despicable, evil. But let me also tell you this. Jesus never puts people in shame. He calls us back and restores us to full communion. That doesn't mean we put them back in parishes, no. It means that, you know, they belong to us and they are ours, no matter what they did or didn't do. Thou art a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. You see, I happen to believe the whole line. I happen to believe the whole line. And when I see the church acting like a prostitute and disassociating herself from our broken brothers, I want to say, I want to throw up. That's what I want to do. Throw up all over the place. Because our preaching is impotent by the way we live and by the way we respond. I know of a priest that has not done anything with children. They want him laicized, and they've bribed him with $40,000. I cannot imagine how hypocritical my mother, the church, has become. But yet she's still my mother. And I prophesy and say, we shall close more churches. We shall lose more people. Our hypocrisy will turn people away rather than bring people toward us. You can talk a good game, but if you do not live the game you talk, it's completely useless. You know what Jesus said to the church yesterday? I will not condemn you on the last day, but the words that I speak will condemn you. He said that in the Gospels. Prodigal son, woman caught in adultery. One thing I do is forget what lies behind and press on to what lies ahead. Life on high in Christ Jesus. I will not condemn you on the last day, Lord, says, but my words will condemn you. The words that I have spoken, the words that come out of my mouth that you proclaim on a Sunday. Imagine St. Paul.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.
In Season and Out of Season is sponsored by In Season and Out of Season.